Wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the oldest listener of all? You'll never guess how old our oldest listener is. We had an old listener auction. It worked quite well. And we really got an insight into our core demographic of geriatric listeners. Plus, Dr. Nikki Goldstein, she was in and we talked about silly bets you've made. It took a while to get this over the line. It was very innocent, but from one stooge who just tried to mention the word "fat penis" in quite an aggressive way. Threw us off for a little bit, but we bounced back. It's a learning experience. I think that'll make the podcast. Enjoy the podcast.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
Pretty cool. This is pretty important stuff right now. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're a hit network. We're a hit music station. We play the big tunes. And you know, a lot of the time people think, well, you know, I'm getting a little too old to listen to this station. Let me tell you right now, you're never too old to listen to this show. No, no, no. Come one, come all. Come young, come old. We don't discriminate here on Wakey Wakey. It's Danny Lakey. And every now and then, sort of some big wig, some chief exec will sort of like knock me up in the hallway and go, yeah, how you going, mate? Yeah, what are the calls like? You're appealing to the 32-year-old female? I say, excuse me. I'll be appealing to the 32-year-old female. I'll be appealing to the 68-year-old man. I'll be appealing to the 8-year-old kid. I'll be appealing to everyone on this show. You mark my bloody words. He said, all right, suit yourself. And I said, I will suit myself. We'll be doing an old person auction, looking for the oldest listener on the show right now.
If you're kind of getting old and listening to the show, we're trying to figure out who's the oldest right now.
You know, at my age, the mind starts playing tricks.
So this is going to celebrate the old listeners of the show. We're going to have an old person auction. We'll put 2 minutes on the clock. We're essentially looking for the oldest person who is listening around the country right now. As all good auctions do, let's start the bidding off at a reasonable 40. 40 years old, we'll start the bidding. 13, 10, 60, if you are 40 or above, call the show now. Anyone who wants to make a bid as I fire up the 2 minute timer. This will be good. Gotta add a little bit of dramatic touch as well. It's a little awkward that no one's ringing up at the moment. Am I purely appealing to people under the age of 40? Start the bidding. Every auction usually takes a little bit of a slow start. Do I have 40 years old anywhere, man or woman, on 13, 10, 60? Looking for a 40. Anyone? Anyone? 40 or above? Lady Georgia from Narre Warren, do we have a 40? Georgia?
Yeah, yeah. How? 47.
47. Do I have higher than 47 here on 13, 10, 60? Do I have higher than 47? We go to Catherine. Do I have higher than 47?
Yes, 51.
51. Keep the bidding going at 51 with 1 minute and 8 seconds to go. 51.
Yes.
Going once, going twice.
Yeah, yeah.
Stan, do I have older than 51?
Yeah, we've got 59 and a half.
Brilliant. 59 and a half at the back there from the man called Stan. 59 and a half with 53 seconds to go. Do we have higher than 59 and a half? Jenny?
Yes, I'm 60 next month.
We've got 59 and 11 twelfths. So we're really getting to the business to the business end of the auction now. Any more than 59 and 11 twelfths with 38 seconds to go. 59 and 11 twelfths. Going once. Going twice. Do we have higher than 59, 11, 12s? Vicky?
Yeah, I'm 63.
63. Brilliant. We continue the bidding at 63. Blown out of the water with 20 seconds to go. 63 on the clock. Do we have higher than 63? Anyone at the back? I've heard word from the owner that we will sell tonight. Elwin, do we have higher than 63?
71.
71. The man at the back, Elwin. Congratulations. 71. Going once, going twice. Colette.
75.
Jesus Christ! Wow!
75.
75. Okay, the timer has stopped.
I told you before, I'm Colette. I told you I'm 75.
Yeah, you were talking to the producer before, Colette. Now you're through on the air. Yeah, I mean, there's no question Colette is 75. I mean, we've got everyone in the holding zone here. Hold the line, Colette, because we've got producers just still on the phone to a couple of people going once at 75. Going twice at 75 for the oldest listener of Wakey Wakey, it's Danny Lakey. Any more final bidders? Lorna. Yes. How old are you?
92.
Jesus! 92 years old, going once, going twice. My hammer is in my hand for a free tessellate towel to wipe up the dribble. So, to the 92-year-old at the back, here's from Lorna. Well done, Lorna. Congratulations, 92 years old, listening to the show. You gotta love that. You gotta love that. How often do you listen to the show, Lorna?
Every night.
Every night. Glad to have you call in more often. Tessellate towel for you to wrap the drool up. See you tomorrow, Lorna.
Wakey, wakey. It's Dan and Lakes.
Let's have sex.
I had sex with her.
And life. I'm gonna live my life. With Dr. Nikki Goldstein.
Dr. Nikki Goldstein joins us live from the Gold Coast tonight. Before I greet you, Dr. Nikki Goldstein, we must just get to some formalities.
This is not a practice warning, not a drill.
The following content is about to get a little loose. It may contain traces of sexual nature and nuts. You've been warned.
3, 2, 1, let's go.
There we go. That'll keep all the pencil pushers happy. All the suit and ties. Yeah.
So you got to give us fair warning. You're going to get a sexologist on. We need a dab of warning. I didn't quite realise the sexologist was talking about sex. Please put a 14-second audio grab package together so we can at least be warned. Anyway.
That's the kind of package I actually need when, like, I walk into a room. So just to let you know, I'm probably going to talk about anal sex and fetishes, but this is what I do for a living.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Maybe I need to play that again halfway through. Tis the season to be jolly. You reckon many people, like couples, have more nookie-nookie this time of year or less or the same? Because I was thinking, like, full-time, like, working parents and, you know, that kind of thing. They've probably got the excuse during the year to be like, oh, you know, we just don't have enough time to have sex. Now, 3 weeks of vacation, holiday time, kids going out to play, there's no excuse, is there?
Well, I think it really depends. Like, if you're a new couple, this is where I think sex really ramps up because you're both probably not working, you're drinking a bit, you're going out partying, you know, inhibitions are lowered. Mm. But if you are parents with small children, you've got the kids at home and you're running around doing after-school activities or holiday activities, you're stressing about Christmas. So even though you have more time, I actually think that there's more stress. So I think we need to take a little bit of moment to reach out to those parents and say, try and work out how to balance the sex so you can have more sex at Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, balance the stress, not balance the sex.
I was going to say, I reckon I can balance you right in the middle. Play another warning.
It's a new sex move.
What about Christmas presents, like sexy Christmas presents? I think we spoke last week who you could actually give underwear to at Christmas time. A lingerie, that'd go down quite nicely. If a man is struggling to figure out what to give his girlfriend, can he only give her lingerie though? Or is that sort of like, oh, you only want me for my body and not for my sense?
Well, the awkward thing is that normally when you're unwrapping Christmas presents, you are doing them around other people. So you might be around family or friends. So if you are going to give something that's a little bit cheeky, be very mindful of where that person is going to open them. But also, if you're in a new relationship, and even if you've done the sneak of let's open our presents in bed together, probably your girlfriend or partner's friends are going to say, oh, what did they get you for Christmas? So I'm not always sure that giving sexy presents is the right move for Christmas, but it could be like a little additional thing on the side. Like, get them a good present so they're happy and then they want to have sex with you, and then get them a present that can enhance the sexual experience.
Yeah, right. Really flatter them subconsciously and then get what you want consciously.
Exactly.
What about the hot heat during this time of year? Is temperature important when setting the mood for lovemaking?
Well, I think as long as you have air conditioning. So I'm a summer person, right? I get really turned on in summer. I love it when we're all running around in less clothes. We're going to the beach. Everyone feels a little bit more relaxed. But there's nothing worse than when you're getting hot and heavy and the sweat just dripping off you because all you might have is a ceiling fan. So I think we actually are more turned on in summer, also too because we've got more daylight. So when we are exposed to more light, we're more positive. Happy people or horny people. So I feel like that's got a lot to answer for. But I don't mind the hot and ready rumble and tumble, but there is a limit where it gets uncomfortable, and get off me.
And more sunlight to see all the pretty girls. Ooh.
Of course, that's what you would think, yes. Or more sunlight to see the pretty girls. Right. Exactly, Danny.
I don't mind a sweaty layer, a thin film of sweat, because sweat only starts stinking when it's left for a while. Fresh layers aren't bad.
It stinks when it's from a guy. I don't know what it is, but women's sweat is only just a slight odour, and men's sweat is just sometimes revolting. It's stuck in the hair, and it's in the underarm hair, and the pubes, and...
Oi.
Yeah, I'm thinking of you and your hair when I'm saying that.
There's enough hair on you. No, I am like a calippo in summer. I am slick, slippery, well-centered, fruity eau de performance.
Yeah, probably slick with sweat and lube.
And massage oil. I'm a textures man. Hey, 131060, if you'd like to ask Dr. Nikki Goldstein a question, this is the last Wednesday of the year for the show.
This is kind of sad. What are you going to do without me on a Wednesday night?
Oh, I'll be in Sri Lanka, so it'll be okay. I'll figure out things to do.
You'll still be calling me. You'll have the personal questions this time.
Well, it will be interesting on 131060 because usually there's a lot of Q&As, people wanting to ask Nikki Goldstein, the sexologist and the relationship counsellor, questions. It'll be interesting to see the calls this week, considering that you are on the Gold Coast and not live in studio, whether that will elicit more calls, less calls, or the same amount of calls.
Or whether it makes me more of a sexologist when I'm on the Gold Coast.
Maybe. Only time will tell, Dr. Nikki Goldstein. 131060, if you've got a question for the sexologist / relationship expert, get him in now. Get it while it's hot. This is the last show of the year involving Dr. Nikki Goldstein.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey. Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
3, 2, 1, let's go.
Dr. Nikki Goldstein is still here, the relationship life counsellor and the sexologist. Got a couple of calls coming through, Dr. Nikki Goldstein. Surprise, surprise, it actually doesn't matter whether you are here in person or via telephone on the Gold Coast. Similar amount.
Everyone has a sex question.
Amanda in Melbourne, you're first up. Hello, what's your question?
I just want to know where Nikki stands with age gaps. I've been in about a three-month relationship with a guy. I'm 22. And he's 28 turning 29. My parents don't really approve of it, but his parents are fine with it.
Well, I think, Amanda, you know, when you're in your 20s, the age gap isn't so much of a big deal. Where you've really got to take notice if you were in your 20s and maybe he was in his late 30s, 40s, didn't want children, then it becomes a matter of logistics. I think as a society, we do kind of feel that older men are these sexual deviants, that what do they want with a young woman? They're attracted to them for their youth. So I think you've got to take that into consideration that that might be where your parents are coming from. But if you're 22 and he's 28, 29, then if the logistics are not an issue for the two of you, then it shouldn't be something that you worry about. You just kind of have to accept what they're saying, but don't necessarily take it on board for yourself and your partner.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
What do your parents think about it, Amanda? Why don't they like him? He just, there's something about this bad egg. I don't trust this guy.
They agree that he's a nice guy and everything, but I think that they're just a little bit concerned about his intentions because, he's getting to that stage where he's pushing for kids and I'm not at that stage yet.
Oh, he's getting clucky.
Yeah, he is a little bit.
The guys have more time. This is the unfair thing when it comes to women and men. He's got more time. He can still keep growing into the 30s. You know, as a woman in your 20s, I would definitely say make sure that you live your life and don't necessarily cave into anything until you are ready. If he really loves you, then he will wait. And that's definitely a conversation I think you have to have. What are your expectations moving forward about a future and what are each other's time frames? Because it's not necessarily about age, it's more about what you both want out of life and when.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
No worries. I mean, I don't think that was directed at me, but I'll speak on behalf of Dr. Nikki.
Danny, you do add a little bit of educational flair. It's okay.
Oh, dear. Jade in Newcastle, what's your question?
My partner and I have been together since we were 17 and we're in a bit of a rut. We, sexually aren't really there and I just wondered how we get that flame back.
Well, I think this is one of those questions that's really common. So, you know, there'd be a lot of other people listening that would go, I'm in the same boat. And when it comes to getting that spark back, first of all, it's actually what happens outside of the relationship. So you've really got to start looking at the emotional things. Are you holding on to resentment? Do you communicate? Do you do fun things outside of the bedroom? You know, is there anything that's going on in your relationship that's really holding you back from physically connecting? Then I think it becomes a combination of sexual boredom and sometimes stress and a lack of time. If you were to walk to work the same way every day, you would absolutely be bored out of your mind. And it doesn't mean that we need to go and find new partners, but it's a matter of finding something new within the same partner. Now, if people are bored sexually, that's where we start to see things decline. Why are you going to have sex? Why are you going to get creative if it just doesn't feel good anymore? So once you've worked out some of the emotional things that might be holding you back, then as a couple, you've got to think, okay, what are things that we want to explore together? What are some of the things that we've always thought about or we've spoken about? And that's really the key, is if you can find some things that interest you both, then there's something to work at. But at the same time, like we were talking before with Christmas, we have this issue of stress and everyday life. So you may need to get creative. If you've got children or if you do different shifts, if you're both really stressed, is it a matter of trying to get friends to take the kids for one night so you've got a little bit of peace and quiet? Having some time in the shower together or putting the kids to bed and then going to bed early yourselves instead of watching Netflix? So it's really something that is more in depth in terms of multiple factors. And unfortunately, it's not just a matter of having one thing that's going to spice it up again. But the biggest thing is intent. If you both want to get there, you will get there. But it's a matter of actually working on your sex life and your relationship. Okay, cool.
I've got five words to add to that.
Here we go.
Wet look latex bodysuit. Sexy, the sexiness of Britney Spears with the texture of a wet orca. Seriously, he'll love it. $120 online. I recommend the black or the hot pink. Thank you, Jade.
What about her? You're saying he'll love it, but what about her?
She'll love it as well. Everyone will love it.
Oh, okay.
Great advice.
That's what everyone's getting for Christmas.
Yeah, seriously, wet look bodysuits online. Type it in. Good stuff. Latex versions. Dr. Nikki, can you actually hang around for a third break? Because I've got a release and sip issue of my own.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, she started saying this.
What's wrong, Daddy?
And I want to vomit. How do I stop her saying it? We'll discuss next.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
Pretty excited about this one. This has been a little while trying to get this onto the show. This has been on the whiteboard for a while, but producer Jack just putting his producer hat on out there, being the resident fun sponge, just saying, no, I don't know about this one, don't know. But we finally got it over the line. This is about a poker player who locked himself in solitary confinement as part of a weird wager. He's decided to get himself into this scenario. So on November 21, this is how it reads. Poker player Richard Alati walked into a blacked-out room in Las Vegas, determined not to see sunlight for a month. The gutsy gambler, who was already won $500,000 on the tables in Las Vegas playing poker, got two-thirds of the way through his creepiest wager challenge yet, before pulling the pin. Now, the bet involved Alati sitting in a bathroom in an unknown apartment with just a bed and a bathtub at his disposal for 30 days. As part of the rules, he had to remain in complete darkness the entire time. The stunt was part of a bet devised by another Aussie, Rory Young, a friend and fellow poker player of Alati's. The players put up $138,000 each. If he managed to stay the whole 30 days in complete darkness, he got the money. If he didn't, Rory Young got the money. It was designed to test the mental toughness of players away from the poker table. Alati was hoping to go the distance and secure his big payday, but he couldn't make it. He bailed after 20 days in the dark. 10 days before the scheduled end of his challenge, Young reportedly went to deliver food to his lonely mate each day. And while Alati was apparently still upbeat, he opted to negotiate a buyout. Yep, tapping out. God. Not a bad bet. I mean, it's hard to tell, isn't it? You really wouldn't be able to sort of pass judgment on whether Alati, you know, did a good job or a bad job at that bet. It sounds on paper. It sounds quite nice, doesn't it? $138,000, 30 days in the dark. They say solitary confinement, they say your mind just goes crazy after a couple of days. No light. It's got, what else is it? No electronics, no phones, no light emitting devices, no drugs, no fun of any kind. Just food. his mate made sure he delivered on random intervals, so he didn't get a sense of timing either. Got it. I mean, it sounds a bit torturous, to be honest, when you think about it. But he was down for the challenge. 138 grand. Couldn't make it, though. 20 days in the end. Not a bad bet. Not a bad bet. But bets are fun. Friendly bets like that are quite fun. Remember, I used to work in Thailand at this hotel, and I had a bet with my friend that I could live. It was buffets. We had three buffets a day. So you could eat whatever you wanted, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That was part of the service. But I bet my friend that I could live off broccoli for a week straight. Just complete broccoli. Could have any liquids I wanted, but broccoli the whole time. Got 3.5 days in, couldn't finish it. I was decrepit. I was losing so much weight. I was gaunt. I was feeling sick. Broccoli has no nutrients in it. You think, oh, yeah, that'll be a nice little cleanse, nice little weight loss thing. I was doing too much activities, exercise, working too much. Couldn't handle the one-week broccoli bet. 30,000 baht we had on the line. It's about 100 bucks. 30,000 baht. Bloody hell. It was only a couple of days ago, me and you, Producer Jack, were having a nice gentleman's bet who bought lunch. We were trying to figure out if Audio Dungeon Master Chris Beach is in charge of all the audio, whether he watches Game of Thrones or not.
Yeah, I reckon he did.
You thought he did? I thought there's no way in hell. I thought he's too meddly, he's too grungy, he's too much of a musician. We both ran in there. We said, Audio Dungeon Master Chris Beach, do you watch Game of Thrones? He said, yes, yes, I do. Fortunately, I lost that bet as well.
Best lunch I ever had.
Yeah, best lunch. Yeah. All right, let's talk silly bets.
Come on.
Let's talk about bets, baby. Ring 131060. I have waited for ages to chat about wages, and now they've let me. Let's talk about bets. Let's talk about bets.
Okay, let's talk about bets on 131060. I've been waiting for a while. This one's got over the line because Producer Jack, you were saying, you were like, well, you know, we can't really be promoting gambling. I said, well, I'm not talking about putting 50 grand on Maccabi Diva at the Melbourne Cup and it paid off. I'm talking about little gentlemen's bets and ladies' bets, friendship bets, these kind of things. That, oh, I bet you can't throw that can into the bin from 30 metres away. Oh, I bet I can. All right, what should we wager? These kind of bets. That's fine. Good content. Producer Jack has allowed it through. Let's show him, as a nation, that we are a nation of fun bettors. And this will be a worthwhile segment. 131060, we'll get the calls on the air next. Silly bets that you've done.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
Country.
Come on.
Let's talk about bets, baby. Ring 131060. I have waited for ages to chat about wages, and now they've let me. Let's talk about bets. Let's talk about bets.
Yeah, I've waited ages to talk about these wager stories. Good old-fashioned bets. Schoolyard bets, gentlemen's bets, lady bets, party bets, these kind of ones. Just the social. Slippery tenner might be on the line. Maybe a 50, maybe a 100. I don't know. Money's. It's not about the money, Producer Jack. All this worry for nothing. It's just fun gags.
We don't condone gambling.
We don't. I know we don't condone gambling. But what's a cheeky bet between a couple of friends? Like you and I, the joy we had the other night betting on whether Audio Dungeon Master making all the audio, Chris Beach, watches Game of Thrones or not. Oh, the fun we had. Oh, the speculation that was drawn. We both drew our lines in the sand. I said, nah, there's no way he watches Game of Thrones. He said, yes, he'd be a Game of Thrones from way back. We went in there. Mr. Beach, you watch Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah, of course. Up with Jon Snow. Forever is nigh, or whatever it is. Winter's falling. Sang along those lines.
Oh, I can't stand Game of Thrones. I'd rather put my penis in a mousetrap. Besides the point on 131060, Amy in New South Wales.
Hello.
Hello.
Not a silly bet.
So I was volunteering overseas for 8 months and I got really thick eyebrows and they bet me if I shaved off one of my eyebrows, I'd get $40 for it.
That's good. I mean, it's good for them. I feel you got ripped off. So you were one eyebrow or no eyebrows?
One full eyebrow, clean off.
That's great. So one big bushy and then one just bald off the bone. For 40 bucks. And I guess 40, you were volunteering in a third worlder. Maybe 40 bucks it was more higher value worth over there.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like me and the 30,000 baht. $100 sounds like a slippery bet back in Australia, but in Thailand, that was a lot of money at that time. A lot of money, my broccoli challenge. Yeah. Well, that's cool. It's always good to have a friend that will cave into these demands for a very low, fickle price. Thanks, Amy.
When you're volunteering, it's good.
Yeah, it is good. Thanks, Amy. Harry in Melbourne. You had a bet of some sort?
Yeah, well, it wasn't myself, actually. It was two of my mates. It was about 10 years ago in year seven. And one of my mates, my other mate, that he couldn't throw a rock into a bin across a four-lane street. And if he did throw it in, he'd have to suck his fat cock. And
I don't think so. I don't think he needed to do that.
He did.
Nah, I don't think so.
He did. Nah. And then
I think it was a thinly veiled penis. Definitely not a fat one. Nah, it wouldn't have happened. Wouldn't have happened. Harry's made that up, surely. I mean, legally we have to say he made it up, huh? Mitchell in Melbourne, 1060. You're not in cahoots with Harry. We're going to hijack this, are you? Mitchell!
How's it going?
Yeah, bloody good. Bloody good. What's the bet?
So, I was on a date the other night and the girl gave me the wrong address, or I was convinced it was. And we're arguing who, either if she met a typo or I just read it wrong. So she's like, oh, we'll make a bet. And the bet was to literally get the tattoo. So I was pretty confident. So I'm like, yeah, no worries. And now I've got a tattoo on my foot with her.
What was the spelling?
Sorry?
What was the spelling? What was the bet?
The bet was just a tattoo of, it was either I could pick the tattoo or I could pick the place. So I picked the place and she picked the tattoo.
Yeah, I know, but what did you lose? What did you lose? What bet did you lose?
So I had to pick the, we're debating who, either if she gave me the wrong address or I just typed in the wrong address.
Zany! Yeah, well, that's cool. That's a very like boring bit of bet for an extremely cool punishment at the end. That's what I like about that one.
Yeah.
Unlike the one before that, extremely crazy punishment for not much dinner. Kerry in Victoria, wrap this up on 131060. Save us from ourselves, please.
Okay. Well, when I was a teenager, we got a brand new outdoor swimming pool. And my dad bet me $50 that I wouldn't get in it every single day throughout winter. he's a cruel man. Yeah. I tried my best. I got in every single day. And by the end of it, he felt so bad watching me shivering, jumping in this icy water, that he offered me $20 to bail out of it.
So was there any reward at the start of it?
No.
just pride.
I was in it for the $50 at the end of the 3 months.
Oh, right, and he cashed down early.
He did. He felt bad.
That's always good. It's always good when the bookies start to crumble on themselves. Leicester City all over again. Thank you.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.